Good evening. Obviously, I'm not Bill. He's out watching his daughter ride a horse. Well, he is. And where he's at, apparently it is a privilege to be there and to be able to allow her to do what she's doing with these Arabian horses and the way that they braid the hair and all this stuff. So it's really cool. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive into tonight's study. So Lord, I just want to thank you for everybody who's here, and be with those who aren't. Father, there's so many who are sick right now, and they just have different trials going on in their life. I pray that you would touch, that you would heal. You are the ultimate physician. I know you can think it, and it's done. So Lord, please be with those. Lord, guide my words, guide my thoughts, and I pray that you would be glorified and that this draws somebody closer to you. And if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that there would be something said that flips on that switch, and they said, I want that. So Lord, search hearts. In your precious name, amen. So, how many are familiar with the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount? Good. We're not teaching that. But I want you to be alert. And where I'm going is what some people call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 5 and Luke 11, 2 through 4. But the reason I ask about the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount is this is taught twice in the New Testament. One, right after the Beatitudes and while doing the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the Sermon on the Mount was not given as a way of salvation for the lost, but a way of life for the believer. Instruction for those who had accepted Jesus' invitation to repent. You know, I think of the armor of God. So much of that is based right upon prayer. You know, that's how you're supposed to start. And what led me to the point of prayer is Bill said, hey, this is going on. Can you teach? I'm like, I've been working every night, but you know what? Yes, I can. And then I'm like, what do I teach? He says, read the book of Jude. That's an awesome book. You don't want to read the book of Jude. And I'm scrolling through some pictures, and I see this picture somebody posted of an eagle that just captured a snake. And in the caption it says, the eagle does not fight the snake on the ground. It picks it up into the sky and changes the battleground. It then releases the snake into the sky. The snake has no stamina or no power and no balance in the air. It is useless, weak, and vulnerable, unlike the ground where it has power, wise, and deadly. Take your fight into the spiritual realm by praying, and you are in the spiritual realm. God takes over your battle. Don't fight the enemy in his comfort zone. Change the battlegrounds like the eagle. Let God take charge through your earnest prayers, and then claim victory and pray without ceasing. You know, and that means so much. You know, I think about, like I said, the armor of God. That's a whole nother teaching. You know, I remember doing that before, and I wanted to get, I know people in the police department with their armor or military. There's some imperfection in every piece of armor, but there is not any imperfection of the armor of God. You're speaking about the one who spoke in this whole universe came into existence. You know, I love telling the story about the disciples in the boat when the wind was coming and the storm was so bad. Jesus was so tired, he was sleeping. And the disciples woke him up because they thought they were going to die. They were like, "Don't you care about us? We're going to die." And I could just imagine him wiping the sleep out of his eyes. And he looks and says, "Peace, be still." And the water and the wind stop. And the water is smooth as glass. That's who we talk to when we pray. You know, and I think of the prayer that was prayed, and then the angel comes and says, "I heard your prayer. It took me 21 days to get here." You know, so it's an amazing thing, and I can't wrap my little brain around how powerful it is. I can share what little I know, and hopefully it entices you to spend more time just hanging out with the Lord. Because that's really where he wants us. You know, you think of your kids. When they come home, you want them just to come and hang out with you. You want them to talk about the day. That's how the Lord is with us. You know, you think about if you have a close friend. And this is what I love sharing with the kids on praying. And it's an example to where they kind of get it. You know, if you got a close friend and you'd see each other every day. You know, you've got a really tight relationship. Something happens, and they move away. So now you talk maybe every other day. You're still really close friends. You're just like this. Then something else happens, and now you move. And now you see, you talk one another once a week. You know, and then time goes on. Now you see each other once every couple weeks. Once a month, once a year, you're still friends. But is that relationship still like this? No, you've started to grow apart. You know, you still are friends with that person, but you don't have that intimate relationship that you had before. You start to drift apart. You know, and that's what the Lord wants for you, not to drift apart, but to have that intimate relationship, that constant, "Lord, I just want to thank you for this." Or, "Lord, help me in this." Or, "Thank you for this." Whatever it is. Whether it's major and your whole world is falling apart around you, or you got a splinter in your finger. If it's a concern to you, it's a concern to him. So that's where my heart goes with prayer. You know, because it is amazing when you really understand who it is that you pray to. When you're in a room of people or when you're with somebody else, you're not praying to that person. You're praying to the one, as I said, can speak and the world listens. Everything around obeys his voice. You know, so he's the one that can do something when you're in the midst of a trial. I'm good at throwing it out, but I'm also good at waiting for it to come back down and say, "Okay, now what do you want me to do?" See, I need to get better at throwing it up there and knowing that he's got it. So, in Matthew 6, actually, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." You know, that's not saying don't pray for people when they ask for prayer. Or if you see somebody in need, don't go pray for them and let people see you. No, he's not saying that at all. He's saying, don't be like the person who's on TV, and just because they see a camera, I want to pray for you. No. When you're doing something to be seen by man, that is your reward. You know, your reward is not going to be in heaven. That's your reward. You know, the Bible talks about don't let the left hand know what your right hand is doing. It doesn't mean to give half-heartedly, to do this, to do this. It's just do it. Don't do it to be seen. I love it when people are actually quiet about blessing other people. They don't want to be known for this or that. Not because, ooh, I don't want my reward to be stolen, but it's not about that. I don't want to get credit for doing anything like that. I want the Lord to be glorified in the things that are done. So you see, sadly, so much of the garbage that's on TV is very similar to the hypocrites and these people who are out just the prosperity movement and all this other stuff that goes against the word of God. You know, they're doing it for attention or for money or, you know, for individual gains. You know, when you look at James, James has a lot to say about prayer and how the intent of our heart should be. You know, now we've got to be careful about the motivation even in prayer. What I pray for is tested by motivation. James says, you have not because you ask not. And then he added, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume on your own lust. In other words, it's possible for me to even have the wrong motive for praying. What I'm praying for motivation is such an important thing. That's why the Bible says, let every man examine himself, for we will judge ourselves. We will not be judged of God. And it's good to examine, why did I do that? You know, is it possible for me to deceive myself? You know, when you think of David saying, search my heart, O Lord, for anything that's in my heart that's not right, that's going to deceive you, that's going to deceive me as I'm crying out to you. Search my heart, O Lord. You know, you see examples of that because he knows our heart, and that blows me away. He knows the intent of our thoughts, and he still loves us. It's like, wow, you know how dirty, how rotten the thoughts that have gone through my mind, and you still love me? And if you have hatred for somebody, you murdered them? Wow. He's like, come here, I love you. That to me is so amazing. So I say to you, they have their reward, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have your door shut, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not pray in vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. God doesn't want you to memorize our Father who art in heaven for just the words. You know, other than Wayne, who could speak our Father in Greek? It would do nobody any good. You know, even for those who are in Greek, they're like, it sounds so astonishing. Look at me. If you're just saying the words, what is it? It's actually okay to pray this prayer. I know people who do it, but the intent of it is, this is the model prayer. But they kind of missed it because this is a model for prayer. prayer. You know, so we'll see that as we get moving. But here is the time of hang out with the Lord. You know, go into your prayer closet. Just sit there and hang out with Him. Let Him do that work. You know, because He is faithful. When you pray and you don't have the selfish ambition in your or motive, and you're actually honestly praying for somebody because you see them in that situation, that circumstance, and your heart breaks for them, wow, God loves that. You know, because I have no interest in all, I have no personal gain to watch you get better, other than the, wow, look at that. You know, it's not going to benefit me any to have your life change, but it's going to make me, wow, and be in that much more awe of the Lord. But there's no financial gain, there's no other personal gain like that. So, and you also notice it says, when you pray. Not if you're going to pray. When you pray. You could put your name in there. Art, when you pray, pray this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For your kingdom and your power and your glory forever. Amen. So that is the manner in how we are to pray. You know, He already knows what we're going to ask for before we ask Him. You know, so many times I know personally my daughters ask me for things. I knew she was going through something and she came and asked, and I already knew. You know, so that's a small little picture. So many times God uses our kids as, I should have seen that coming, you know? And that's so awesome that He uses things like that to show us, you know? How many times do you have to tell your kid, don't do that, don't do that? Why does the Bible repeat this over and over again? How many times do you tell your kids, don't do that? That's why. He has to tell us, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, don't do that. Eventually we get it. Sometimes we don't, but He continuously tells us, you know, and why? Because He has our best interest in mind. When we pray, does God hear all of our prayers? Yes, He does. How does He answer them? Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. And sometimes it's not right now, you know? And then I've heard people say, man, I've prayed that I would get hooked up with that person when I was in high school, and now I see him 20 years later, and I go, thank you, you know? But He does know, He does have our best interest in mind, you know? So we don't understand a lot of the things, why He says yes or why He says no. But I do know He moves heaven and earth for one person. There are several examples in the Bible how people who should have never crossed paths, He said, but I'm just looking for this answer. Well, here it is. Wow, who are you? The woman at the well. You know, that should have never happened, but it did. And it's so amazing that Jesus loves us the way that He does. And He will change so many things to get your attention. Why? Because He loves you. You know, what do you do for people who you love? Do you lay down your own personal desires, your own personal, oh, I just have to do that. Oh, you know what? You know, come Thanksgiving morning or afternoon, you're cooking all day long, the house smells just, And then somebody comes along and starts asking you a question about the Lord, and you start sharing. Everybody else is eating. Now you've been building this appetite for hours. The house smells so delicious. But all of a sudden, your hunger starts fading away, and you're more interested in sharing Jesus with this individual. That's how Jesus is throughout the Bible. You know, he's a model individual. We can never be like him, but we can sure strive to be like him. You know, I've heard people go, well, Jesus wouldn't do that. Then the other person says, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, yep, valid point. So we can't be held to that standard because we're not him. You know, when we're in heaven, we'll be in a glorified state. We won't be like we are now. Wow, I'm looking so forward to it. You know, every time you get up and the knee pops or you get a cramp in the shin, not anymore. You know, he's going to wipe away all those tears. Oh, so that's an awesome thing to look forward to. Then the next area of scripture, I don't completely have a full grasp on it, but I'm going to read it because it's here, and I'll share a couple different ways that I've heard it, and I've read some different commentaries, and they don't even touch on it. Then I read a little thing from Chuck Smith, and he says, I'm not going to try to change what the Word of God says. I'm going to read it because it's here. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. I've looked at probably 12 different scriptures relating to this, and they all say the same thing. And they give examples about the man that was forgiven much, and then he had a servant that owed him just pennies compared to what he owed. And he was like, no, you will pay it now. Weren't you just forgiven all of this, and you're not even going to forgive that? It makes you think. I don't have a struggle with this. God's given me that heart to where I can let that stuff go. And please, I'm not trying to brag. It's just, man, I've been burnt. But God's let me let that go. You know, and I think of, I don't know who was the originator of the saying, but he says, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. And that's so true. Because I can, somebody can offend me, and then every time I think about it, oh, it just starts building up in me, and I'll get a headache or a stomach ache or just so frustrated and can't let it go. And the other person isn't affected at all. But now when I forgive that person, it's done. Am I going to let them do it again? Probably not, but I'm not going to hold it against them. You know, so is that what he's talking about? I've heard that being said that, you know, what must I do to be saved? And that's the thing. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. So when I look in commentaries and it doesn't say anything, that's even a more stronger hint. Don't change it. But I know what the Bible says. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins. I am a sinner. Saved by grace. Each one of us, we've all fallen short. We don't deserve his grace and his mercy. But we all have it. As soon as you accept him as Father, you have it. So, That's my understanding of that verse. If I confuse somebody, look it up. Don't take my word for it. And that's one thing that I love. When I started coming to Calvary, I've never heard a pastor say, don't take my word for it. Look it up. Make sure what you're hearing is true. And then I hear the Bible say, be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures. Make sure it's true. So I like it. So now, when you go over to Luke 11, now you're going to see a different model of this prayer. The first was, like I said, right after, during the Beatitudes, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. He was teaching a broad span of people. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, here we go again, not if you pray, when you pray. So he's already expecting us. Remember that armor, the first thing you do is you spend time with them. You know, and if you're not familiar with the breastplate, with the shoes, with all of these different things to go with it, that makes for an awesome little study to sit down with your wife or your husband or just by yourself to sit down and go through and think, man, this is God telling me, put on your armor because the enemy is throwing darts. Look at what's going on right now in so many of your lives and a lot of the people who aren't here. Ah, things are going great. Ah, I haven't been hit with anything. That armor doesn't mean you're not going to get poked, but it's going to help you deflect all those arrows, those fiery darts that are coming your way. So if the designer of this world, the designer of you, says to do something, it's probably pretty smart to follow the directions. So it says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father. Not everybody could say that. Only those who have come to that understanding that he died on the cross and you accepted him. You know, does God hear every single person's prayer? No. If you're not a follower of it, he doesn't hear those prayers. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, I got a big test. Oh, this person's bugging me. Will you do this? No. He does not have a relationship with sin. He doesn't hear you. But now if that same person that prays, oh, I'm so hungover, Lord, if you get me through this, I will never do it again. He doesn't hear that. But if he says, Lord, forgive me, he heard that. That's what he's looking for. And he knows the heart. Once again, he knows the motive. If you're enticed into saying, Lord, please forgive me, he knows whether you really accepted him or not. Only he knows. There could be people sitting in here right now who are playing a good game, and the outward shell is somebody who really loves the Lord. You look at Judas. He was hanging out with Jesus, hanging out with the disciples, running with them, doing all these things. Was he a believer? No. I remember getting into a conversation with somebody thinking that, no, I think Judas is in heaven. He repented. And then that's why he went and hung himself, because he couldn't take it anymore. And then after debating back and forth and back and forth, get away from me, Satan. Wow. And maybe he just couldn't take it anymore, and that's why he went out to that tree and hung himself. Wow. So that debate ended in my mind going, no, I don't think he's going to be there. Well, one day we'll find out. That's the only answer, because the awesome thing is I have no control over any of your guys' soul. I can share the good news. I can share the hope that lies within me and hope that you get it. I can't make you accept it. I can make you say the words, but that's meaningless. Only God says, he's mine. And no man will ever pluck you out of my hands. That to me is awesome. And also, you think of the model prayer, and it's a good base. You know, you think of your kids. You teach them to pray. Let's just pray for dinner. Let's pray for the meals that we eat. And that's a good start. Pray before you go to bed. That's a good start. And then before you know it, you're like, Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for this person, and be with my teacher, because she's going through a hard time. Did you teach them that? No. But you taught them a base. You taught them a model. And now they're going with it and building on it. And before you know it, now they're building that personal relationship with the Lord. It's not just something that you do because, well, that's what mom did. There's a lot of people who go through their whole life. Well, I go to church because you're supposed to. Okay. That's not why I go to church. You know, but there's a lot of people who just go through the routine. And that's what they do. So he doesn't want that. It's not a, I have to go. I have to wake up and spend time in God's word. I have to spend time before I go to bed. No, you don't have to. But here's a person that paid a debt that you couldn't pay. You didn't know him, but he knew you. He knew you before you were even a thought. Yep, I know this person. They're going to be mine. He just wants you to thank you, Lord. And that's an awesome thing. Hallowed be your name. There's something about the name of God, name of Jesus. You know, back in that time, the Jews wouldn't even put those words, Yahweh, on their lips because they weren't, it's too holy. They weren't worthy to speak those words, you know. And you think, have you ever heard anybody hit their finger with a hammer and go, oh, Buddha! Oh, Hare Krishna! No. They use the Lord's name in vain. Why is that? They might not even realize it, but there's something about that name, you know. Heaven and earth cry out. Creation cries out. They don't even know. You know, there's so many people who are walking around blind right now. And even today, right now, the harvest is plentiful. It's just waiting for people to go start. You know, once again, fortunately, it's not on me to see that you get saved. Because I've heard pastors beat themselves up because they didn't get to this person. They didn't get to share with this person. They didn't do this with this person, and they died. You know, sometimes, hey, we're supposed to be obedient to that calling. The Lord puts it on your heart. Go do it. You know, but if you didn't, God will send somebody else. He's not going to hold you accountable for that other person's salvation. You know, that's between that person and the Lord. And then people use, well, what about that person over in New Guinea that's out there in the jungle and there nobody's ever been out there? God uses nature itself to proclaim who he is. You know, People have had dreams and visions and different things that reveal who he is and allow them to come to that understanding that there is a creator. You know, everything began with a thought. Everything that was created, every engineer, every person who has ever made anything, began it with a thought. When God created heaven and earth, in the beginning, God, hallowed be thy name. It's to be revered. It's holy. You know, I know pastors who would, please do not call me reverend. There is nothing holy about me. I just do what I'm called to do. I can point to the Holy One, the one that is supposed to be revered. Don't call me reverend. Hey, you, that's fine. You know, we're not worthy. Only he's worthy. So he becomes your father when you become his son. If you are a believer, you have been adopted into the family. You can now call him Father. And in heaven is God's throne room, most holy. You know, praise and worship in prayer. You know, when we come, you said, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when I think of holy and a time of prayer, that's when that personal time, when you have something so heavy, you haven't shared it with your best friend, you could throw it to him. I told Kevin I won't move around, so I won't go over here and drop on my knees and raise my hands. But that is so precious to the Lord when you are in surrender to him. You know, raising your hands is a universal sign of I surrender. When the bad guy's running away from the police and he holds his gun up, freeze! What's he doing? I surrender. When somebody's coming around the corner and they automatically raise their hands, what are they doing? I give up. I surrender. That's where God wants our hearts. You know, when we worship, don't raise your hands to be seen. That's just like the prayer. Don't be praying so everybody sees you running around when you tithe. That's one reason why we have the tithe box out there. It's not between you and the person sitting next to you. Ooh, I sit by him. He never sees me put anything in here. Watch this. No, it's between you and the Lord. Same with our rewards. You want to be blessed? Be a prayer ninja. They're not seen. They just run around and get things done. You know, and that's what the Lord wants. It's not to be glorifying your edifying yourself. It's to be glorifying and edifying him. Give us day by day our daily bread. Boy, this one really spanked me, because I've been praying about some personal stuff. And I'm like, do I really trust in the Lord with all my heart? You know, it's easy for us to say, yeah, give us this day our daily bread. No, I go to the store, I'm stocked up for months. We could lose power, I got a generator, we got this. We can survive for a long time. Do I really have to count on, Lord, I'm trusting in you to provide all of my needs, but if I stay here, I have this. Yeah, that's wise. But if I'm calling you to do this, and you're staying here because of this, are you doing this because you're not trusting in him? Or are you doing this because there's, I think that's what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. So, It's easy for America to say, I trust in God. No, we have so much, we don't even need him. Ask around. Nah, I don't go to church. I don't believe in God. I don't need him. Ooh. But there's so much of the world, they may not actually say it, but they're thinking it. And I've actually heard a lot of people say it. I've gotten into some really deep conversations because of how they reacted to a saying or a word or something like that. So just, you think of how they were traveling through the desert and they kept getting this manna every single day. Food from heaven. You know, you think of the VeggieTales getting all this manna and they were making different things with it. Like, that's cool. But then they started getting sick of it. It's the same thing over and over again. Well, you really want something else? Here. And now these birds come by and they eat so much of the stuff they get sick and they start throwing up everywhere. Yeah, you should have listened to them. Or they start saving up for the next day or 2 days. Oh, well, I don't feel like working tomorrow, so I'm going to double it up. Uh-uh. What happens? It molds. It gets worms. It goes bad. Oh, trust him. He will. He's faithful. He cares about the birds. And if he cares about the birds and the beasts and all these other things, how much more does he care about you? You're the ones that he designed in his image. We're the only beings with souls. Other animals have minds, you know, but they don't have souls. Now, will I have my dog in heaven? I think there will be pets there, but will your dog be there? I have no idea. Your dog doesn't have a soul, so I really don't know. You know, God's a good and just and fair God. So what it's going to be like there, I don't know. I do believe, just looking through Scripture, there are going to be animals there. Is it going to be yours? I don't know. But, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone else who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So then the best way to interpret, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, is to go to James 1, and I just want to read 2 through 20. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You know, and I've struggled with that too. When somebody comes to me and says, I need prayer. I have this going on in my life. I'm like, well, God definitely can heal you. But just because I pray doesn't mean he's gonna. You know, is that doubt? No, it's not doubt at all. Because I know the God that I'm talking to is the same God that spoke and the wind and the water obeyed his voice. He can. I know several people, I've seen miracles myself, and I know several other people who have prayed and seen people with cancer in the throat go. Wow. Boy, that pill that I gave you really worked. No, I give credit to the Lord. It's so possible. Where it's the same God today as it is yesterday, and it will be tomorrow. You know, he hasn't changed. You know, just like God's word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It doesn't change. The whole society has changed. But God's word has not changed. We're not to try to conform this book to the society of today. You just keep teaching God's word and let God's word do the work and change the society and come back to this? That's the answer. You know, I've heard several people struggle with that. Well, I'm in a church in this area, and they don't listen to that. You know, the Lord put it on Chuck and Kay's heart to go down to the beach and start just sharing the word of God to a bunch of doped out hippies. And now, half of them are pastors, and they just have a heart for the Lord. There are people who are gang members. A lot of the people who are coming down from California have spent time in prison. But guess what? The Lord's done that work in their heart. And they just have a heart to share the gospel with people. And when people have gone through different trials, man, people tend to listen to them. Because if you can't relate to me, how do you know what I'm going through? But then God puts somebody in that spot. You know, each one of us has a different story. You know, so you may be able to witness to somebody who I can't witness to. Who are you? You know, like, I got a friend who just everywhere he goes, he just tells people about Jesus. And sometimes it gets annoying because we're in a hurry. We want to do something. We go to the store and he's like, "Hey, brother, how you doing today? Can I pray?" And then he always wants to pray. And I'm like, okay. And afterwards, I think about it and go, man, what a blessing. I want to be around that. You know? But then I've seen people get mad. Who are you coming in to talk to me like this? And he says, "Bro, I'm just a beggar showing another beggar where to get some bread. I'm not a pastor. I'm not of this. I'm not of that. I just want to show you the way, the truth, and the life." That's it. Oh, okay. You know, I've seen people pray who are from other faiths, and they were like looking around thinking something was going to happen to him as he was praying, like the voodoo guy or something, and it was like, whoa. You know, so God's good. But here's... don't be praying in a way of, "He probably won't do it, but here," or "I don't think he can do it." You know, God can do all of these things, but he's not big enough for me. "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich man in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, in its beauty, beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." So when we focus and set our desires, and that's what we're going to do. We got to have this big, beautiful house. We got to have this. We got to have this. And you're putting that in front of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having nice stuff. But where do you put it? Is it up here? Or is it just down here? "Lord, it's all yours anyway. What do you want me to do with it?" That's where he wants your heart, you know? Some people are, "Well, I would never say that. I worked hard for this." He knows your heart. That's what he wants. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. You know, if your money is where your heart is, there's your treasure. You know, store up your treasure in heaven, where moths can't come and seek and destroy it. You know, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When I first read that, I remember it was quite a few years ago, and I'm like, wow, we fall into our own temptations. You know, the more time we spend in God's Word, the more and more of the world starts to disappear. It just grows strangely dim. I think I read that somewhere. The more of this we get in our lives, the less of the world we get in our lives. Man, I so desire to keep my eyes on heavenly things instead of earthly things. How much better off are we? You know, when you get focused, I know true believers who are so wrapped up in the election and all this garbage that's going on with this COVID stuff. And man, it's so corrupt and so wrong. But guess what? God's allowed it to happen for a reason. There are people here now that wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. You know, how many people's eyes have been opened up through this stuff? You look at 9/11, when that happened. How packed were the churches when it first happened? Oh man, they were coming like crazy. And then things started to get back to normal. Yeah, it's just a thing. I don't need God in my life. One day their eyes will be open and they'll see how much we actually do need God in our lives. You know, once again, fall back to building a relationship with Him, hanging out with Him. So when he draws away by his own desires and enticed, then when desires have convinced it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived by the beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadows of turning of his own will, or brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's what the Lord put on my heart to share. Just, man. If your life is going good, awesome. Thank Him for it. Pick out somebody, pray for them. You know, and I've seen it in my own life, but I know it actually works. If somebody's really on your nerves, you really don't like being around that person, start honestly praying for that person. And watch what the Lord does. He might actually change that person. Or watch. He may actually change you. And you see why that person is that way. And then now you're like, wow, I had no idea. And your heart starts to break for that person. That's just one little example. All of these instructions. And guess what? You still can't put God in a box. Just when you think you got Him figured out, you silly little man. That's nowhere even close. I've given you all these models. I've given you all these instructions. But you can't even understand these things. And then I think of, you can't understand earthly things. If you can't understand this, how are you going to understand this? He just blows me away. So, as the worship team comes up, just spend a quick minute, and whatever's heavy on your shoulders, whatever you're carrying around, throw it up to Him. And know, without a shadow of a doubt, He's there to catch it, because He loves you, and He does have your best interest in mind. And if you have any doubt whatsoever, about your salvation or whether or not, man, I don't know that I have that peace. If I died today, what's going to happen to me? Just grab somebody and say, hey, how can I have what he's talking about? And I guarantee you, if you're looking, the Lord's there to answer. You have not because you ask not. And he knows your heart. So Lord, thank you for tonight, and thank you for everybody who's here. And I just pray that you would search our hearts and that everybody here would just say, I love you, Lord. Amen.